Welcome to episode 210 of the Reds Unrestricted podcast. I'm your host, David Comerford. I'm joined by Mark Baker as we discuss Liverpool's 1-0 defeat against Crystal Palace.
This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
So, obviously, massive blow to Liverpool's hopes of winning the Premier League. Another defeat at Anfield, this time in the league against Crystal Palace. Eber Etchiesse's goal early on in the match proves to be the difference between the sides. We're recording this just as the Arsenal game kicks off, so we don't fully know how it looks in the Premier League. But on the back of the drop points against Manchester United last week, it certainly feels like it could be a fatal couple of games for Liverpool. And definitely just an absolutely agonising watch from pretty much start to finish on this one, unfortunately. Mark, you're just... general summary of that game, first of all, please. We'll get into it in a bit more depth in a second, like what went wrong for Liverpool, but just your sort of overriding thoughts, what now, 15 minutes, half an hour or so after the game finished?
Yeah, it's a devastating result, Dave, really, isn't it? I mean, obviously, Liverpool had the disappointments early in the week with the Europa League result, which looks like it's probably put pay to them progressing in that competition. But the big one was, I think, for all sort of Liverpool supporters, everyone connected with the club, it wasn't that they believed that Liverpool were necessarily going to win the league, but what they wanted to do was, you know, go into the back end of the season, having given the best account of themselves, taking it to the wire and doing as much as they could. If that ultimately ended up in winning the Premier League, then fantastic. But I think that was the sort of the bare minimum anticipation after how they've done this season. But unfortunately, the wheels have just seemed to come off Liverpool within the last few weeks. And ultimately, it's accumulated in them losing 1-0 at home to Crystal Palace, which is obviously a disastrous result.
Yep, no question about that. I mean, if I had to sort of sum that game up in three words, I think I'd say all-time horror show, because I was just sort of sitting there thinking, this is definitely one of the worst Liverpool games I've ever seen in terms of the stakes of it, the way it played out, especially in the second half. Hands down, one of the most excruciating days as a Liverpool fan. And obviously, we've had plenty of those, as much as we are a club who obviously enjoys a lot of success relative to a lot of teams in the country. But you don't feel fortunate or blessed on a day like this to support Liverpool. Throwing it back to you then, Mark. I mean, how similar was that Liverpool performance to what we saw against Atalanta on Thursday? I mean, especially in the first half, because they did pick it up a bit in the second, but it almost felt like, in a way, even though there'd been a big, you know, gap between the games, like a continuation of what we'd seen on Thursday night, essentially for that first 45 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think the problem for Liverpool is they couldn't get close enough to Crystal Palace's players, which allowed Crystal Palace to gain a foothold in the game. It seemed like they could sort of play through midfield or switch the play, especially to Liverpool's right-hand side, so easily, and literally cut through Liverpool, which then gave them confidence. At times in that first half, I mean, Liverpool were trying to get close to Crystal Palace players and they couldn't lay a glove on them. The distances were that vast that it didn't allow Liverpool to sort of strike up any kind of momentum in the game where they could sort of build up some sort of territorial dominance and pin Crystal Palace back and ultimately create chances. It always felt like they were vulnerable every time Palace essentially used the ball better than Liverpool and were more organised than Liverpool. And yeah, the first half was just a... yeah, it was a really, really poor performance in the sense that going, obviously, you're in a title race, Liverpool's position in the table relative to Crystal Palace. If you were to just come down from outer space and say who was the, you know, the team in the ascendancy, who was the superior team, you wouldn't have been able to know that from the first half performance. And I think that pretty much sums up the lethargy in Liverpool's play and how easy the Crystal Palace found it to play against. And ultimately, I think that was summed up by the goal in which, I mean, we talk about not laying a glove on the opposition. I mean, Liverpool literally didn't do that, and you could see that Crystal Palace made inroads into Liverpool's 6-yard box and were able to tap the ball in. It was so pedestrian and ultimately an unacceptable performance in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, there was a stat that they said on Sky Sports, Liverpool misplaced more passes in the first half than they had in any half of football all season, and that kind of summed it up a little bit, really. I mean, I think in the second half, which we'll come on to obviously in a second, it felt like Liverpool stepped it up a fair bit, you know, had a lot of chances, obviously. But they were still getting basically haunted by this sort of technical breakdown time and again, you know, whether it was bad decision making. But It wasn't even, I don't even think decision making is the right way to put it. Just the amount of sort of loose touches, the amount of just sort of basic fundamental footballer mistakes is just baffling to see, to be honest. And the accumulation, not just from one player, but from so many. And again, so similar to Atalanta. I mean, you just cannot get your head around it. And it does make the game so painful to watch, like I've said already. But why do you think it is, Mark, that Liverpool have, you know, fallen off in this manner? I mean, if we think since the international break, Liverpool, obviously they had the game against United beforehand. That was quite painful. You know, came back, beat Brighton, came from behind, played fairly well in that game, I would say. Sheffield United after that made really hard work of it, came away with the win in the end. Sometimes you can get games like that. Then obviously there's this game at Old Trafford that sort of starts this disastrous week. And again, first half of that match, Liverpool completely in control, playing very well, just needing that second goal. And then obviously, basically since half-time at Old Trafford, things have just completely fallen apart. Is there a specific reason you can see why things have sort of crumbled in this fashion within a short space of time?
I think there's multiple issues, really, Dave. I know there's sort of the current trend is to blame Liverpool's finishing in the last few weeks, and there's no doubt in anyone's mind that Liverpool's finishing over the last few weeks when it has mattered has been nowhere near good enough. But there's bigger factors at play for me why Liverpool have fell away in these last few weeks. Well, sorry, adjacent factors. So if we take, I mean, I was looking at the, actually, my mate sent me it over. I can't remember the other day. I think it was from Andrew Beasley saying that Liverpool have taken 200 shots as opposed to whatever Newcastle have taken, which was vastly different, and still scored the same amount of goals. I think there was a massive numerical difference in what Liverpool have taken by 200 more. That's the statistic that they've took compared to Newcastle, to score the same amount of goals. So there's no doubt that when the key moments have came in that final third, that Liverpool have been found wanting. But if you look at the sort of bigger picture, Liverpool have kept, I think it's one clean sheet in 15 games over the last, you know, latter part of the season. And when you're having to come behind, come from behind in 21 of your 32 league games, I mean, ultimately, that's going to start taking its effect. And, you know, as much as we can talk about some of the players missing opportunities when Liverpool have really needed to claw back games or secure games, Liverpool's players have also got them out of holes as well at times this season. Liverpool's attacking players at key moments because they fell behind so many times that they've had to recover performances and recover results. And I just think ultimately that when you're having to do that on a consistent basis, if the ball doesn't fall for you or players aren't playing well, particularly in the final third, like they haven't been over the last few weeks, as opposed to earlier on in the season, then that's why they haven't been able to claw back the results. I mean, factor that in, the anxiety and the pressure of the situation that they're in, and then decision-making becomes more difficult again. And I think if we look at the situation in the second half today, for example, it was a pretty... I mean, I know there was a lot of sort of anxiety in the stadium and all that kind of thing, which made it difficult. But when you actually break down the performance, it was more than enough to go on and win the game for Liverpool in that second half. They had the complete territorial advantage. I know Alisson had to make a really good save from it. I think it was a set play. But apart from that, they completely dominated the field in terms of the territorial advantage, the amount of opportunities they were able to get. I mean, some of the misses obviously were really, really poor. But on the whole, it felt like Liverpool were having to rush to try and get back in the game because minutes were ticking away. And I think Liverpool have had that feeling so many times this season and been able to recover games. But ultimately, it catches up with you. You can't keep doing that all the time. And we found that today from Liverpool. And I think a really good point that you made was sort of where this sort of maybe the wheels started to come off. And I think the two Manchester United games for me very much play into key moments in the season. I know Liverpool were able to come back in games against Brighton and Sheffield United after the first Manchester United game, but it almost felt from them positions of control after Darwin Nunes makes the pass and Jarrell Kwanzaa makes the pass, that confidence went out of Liverpool, momentum went out of Liverpool, and I felt that they were really key turning points. Because what you've got to factor in as well, if Liverpool would have went to Old Trafford and won, the belief and confidence in them two games that would have given Liverpool, I just think, as a group, to be able to kick on for this second part of the season. And I felt that damaged them some way psychologically as well. So when you talk about from a psychological factor, and then you talk about from both sort of the impact of Liverpool conceding too many goals and then not taking the chances, I think them multitude of factors sort of play into how it's culminated, really. And it's really sad the way it's played out.
Yeah, I mean, First off, I think you're spot on. You know, you can't afford to need to score two goals to win every game. There's not really sort of many champions I can remember who've needed to always be scoring twice to win and not being able to keep clean sheets in crucial matches. And let's face it, I mean, Crystal Palace, tactically today, effort-wise today, defending in their own penalty area, all sort of faultless, really. But they haven't been special under Glasner. They've been pretty much poor all season, you know, under Hodgson before him. You know, you're not playing against a top side. This should have been a game where Liverpool are winning, you know, 2-3-0, realistically. And obviously to lose, like you say, is awful. But yeah, I mean, that United game, I just think sort of, it's kind of a pivotal turning point in a way, because if you hold on and win that, like you say, the boost is massive. But to kind of unravel in the way Liverpool did in that sort of spell within that game, and I know they did, you know, obviously, you know, scoring the last goal in a draw obviously makes it feel a lot different. But yeah, I just think the psychological blow of not coming away with the 3 points in that match, especially the way it played out, I just think it's knocked the stuffing out of these players. And I sort of made the points on Twitter. I just think that, you know, Arsenal last season came to Anfield, went 2-0 up, ended up drawing 2-2. Then I think they went to West Ham and drew the week after that. And then they played Southampton, and I think they drew in Southampton, were 20th in the league or something at that stage. And the Anfield results, and I think Arsenal players said this themselves, was the moment where basically psychologically it just sort of, it knocked them too much, especially, you know, with the standard of the title race and how close it was and things like that. And it kind of caused them to crumble a little bit. And I just do wonder if that game at Old Trafford has had the same effect on Liverpool, especially so soon after another horrible one against your biggest rivals away from home. So for me, I think in terms of why Liverpool have just completely fallen off a cliff so fast from, you know, I know it's not been a great few weeks anyway, even before Atalanta and Palace, but, you know, from the levels that we were seeing from not too long ago, I think that to me, I just think, you know, the way Liverpool seasons have played out with there being so many injuries, sometimes you need kind of the mental energy to make up for the tired legs. And I just don't feel like they, you know, they have that anymore. That's what it looks like to me anyway. But coming back to this specific game, first of all, we'll obviously talk a bit more about the title race before we finish. But first off, was strange. I mean, Liverpool, millimetres away from going 2-0 down after Van Dijk slips. And they actually had a couple of moments in this match where, you know, with the Robertson clearance, brilliant clearance from him, Alisson save, you know, also exceptional. They gave themselves a platform to go on and turn it around with those kind of heroic moments at the other end, but they just couldn't build on that. So Liverpool, I know they were saying Liverpool would have been glad to get in it at 1-0 down, which says a lot at home to Crystal Palace. But equally, you know, in the first half, despite that, and obviously much of the kind of dominance and the opportunities for Liverpool came in the second, but they still had Endo hitting the crossbar. That, you know, brilliant ball from Robertson to Luis Diaz. I have no idea how Henderson saved it. I think there was maybe an element of luck almost in making that save. But certain moments like that where it just felt like it just wasn't going to be Liverpool's day as well. And I think they were sort of, they raised the game a little bit for kind of 20 minutes in the middle of that half and then sort of fell away again before half time. And you sat there thinking, Klopp needs to absolutely nail this team talk at half time, because this is where Liverpool's season is going to be defined in this next 45 minutes mark. And do you just see it as basically Liverpool created the chances in the half and didn't take them, and that what the narrative from this game has to be? And I also want to revisit something you said earlier in terms of, to what extent do you think Liverpool have kind of psychologically blown this today with those moments in front of goal as well? Because obviously there's going to be the whole kind of narrative around Liverpool sort of bottling it, for want of a better word, as well.
Yeah, I think in terms of the game, it's not dissimilar to the sort of games we've seen from Liverpool this season, in which they start slowly, they go behind in the game, and then they're forced to try and recover the game. And within that spell where they try and recover the game, often there's been opportunities for the opposition to go further ahead. And I mentioned the other day that Liverpool, one thing they've always done really well, particularly this season and in previous sort of reincarnations of Klopp's team, is they very rarely find themselves out of the realms of the scoreline. So what I mean by that, the save from Henderson. Then you go into the sort of the second half. I can't think about all the opportunities, but just off the top of my head, there's one that was sort of a snapshot from point blank range. Henderson is there to save, and then the two big ones, which were Thiago Jota and Curtis Jones. And obviously, they didn't take them opportunities. Now, at other points this season, Liverpool have taken them opportunities. They've either levelled it up before half-time, or they've been in a situation where they then go ahead at a certain moment. And everyone is happy with the results. Everyone goes, oh, fantastic mentality from Liverpool. That's really fantastic. You know, they're able to recover the results. But like I say, you cannot keep doing that. And unfortunately, a lot of Liverpool's best players have not played well over the last few weeks. They've suffered a decline in the form. So you think of the likes of Salah, Darwin Nunes has not been as productive over the last few weeks. Different players, even in the midfield side of things, I think Endo's been really sloppy. And then you look at the back line, I think Kanati's had an hard time these last couple of games. So they're all influences of why there may be more negative outcomes in, you know, the chances the opposition take and then the chances the Liverpool are able to take. And ultimately, they've just fell on the wrong side of them in the key moments when it's really mattered. But And I think that is sort of my assessment of today's game in general on Crystal Palace, because that game in the second half, Liverpool were dominant, could have easily won the game. No one bats an eyelid. Fantastic comeback, fantastic mentality. It wasn't to be. The players made poor technical execution decisions, probably hampered by the fact of the pressure on the day. And that's put paid to everything, really.
Yeah, it's hard to argue too much with that summary of the game. I mean, in terms of the chances Liverpool had, obviously the Nunez one you mentioned, Jota, so I had one blocked. The Jota one, I mean, Jesus. The cutback from Szoboszlai, and then, when that one was blocked, I think you kind of knew then that Liverpool weren't going to win the game, maybe not even draw it. And then obviously there's the Jones one as well. And there's sort of a catalogue of Liverpool games over the years that you watch them and then you think, I just never want to think about some of the moments in that match again. And that, I mean, you could take your pick today. There was so many of them. And one thing I think is interesting, I took a note of it when they said it, in light of what you were just saying, Mark. Liverpool, I think it was 8 games this season where we were trailing at half time. I think it was 5 wins, 3 draws. And I think you're spot on when you say when you kind of get out of that situation, it is sort of a brilliant mentality. And, you know, you do need that over the course of a season. I mean, when Liverpool won the title and got 99 points, you know, it was almost what that season was built on in a way. But equally, and I know there's this kind of school of thought that you can't just have a results-based analysis all the time and you need to look at the performances and the situation that Liverpool are finding themselves in and the sustainability, basically, of the results that they're getting. And maybe, you know, alarm bells should have been ringing. I know you said sort of, I think consistently when you've been on the podcast this season, you know, you are sort of concerned by some things that are kind of cropping up under the radar almost of these results and comebacks. As much as obviously it is very commendable for Liverpool to dig out the results in the end, is it what a title winner does for a whole season, especially compared to, you know, you look how Arsenal and City have typically been winning games. It feels like it's been a bit more haywire from Liverpool, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, that second half is up there in the pantheon of football suffering, I think.
I think, yeah, you're spot on, Dave. I mean, things we know about Liverpool give up more big chances than the other two teams. They give up more chances in general. That's a fact of the matter. Liverpool always also create more chances than the opposition in terms of shots on goal, but we know they aren't as clinical. So it's which one of them was going to balance out throughout the season in order for Liverpool to end up winning the league. And unfortunately, I think it's just tipped the negative way in the sense that Liverpool haven't been able to take enough chances, which has been a sort of common theme in sort of the cumulative numerics of shots on goal. And then they simply give up too many chances in a different game state. It's allowed the results to get away from them. And yeah, I look at, like, for example, the stat I used before, the Newcastle staff, for example, of 200 odd shots. And that isn't all Liverpool's front players, by the way. But Liverpool's front players have got such great qualities in other areas. You know, when you look at, like, Luis Diaz in terms of travelling, in terms of retaining the ball in the final third, Darwin Nunes in terms of what he brings to the team, you know, touches in the opposition penalty area, chances created, all that kind of thing. So there's great attributes that these players have. But ultimately, And ultimately, you'd have them over, you know, the net positive that they've given to Liverpool this season, I would argue, has been massive in relation to how they've allowed Liverpool to play, you know, the value they bring to Liverpool in that final third. But ultimately, as a collective, as a team, Liverpool do not finish well enough. And that's fine if you've got a team who, you know, if you were like Arsenal and you were watertight and you were able to keep the back door shut and limit the opposition and you know, keep the game state in your favour. But yeah, Liverpool aren't able to do that. So unfortunately, the balance is not quite right between the two. And yeah, it's ended in this, really, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is a consequence of what you have when you've got Salah underperforming and Jota not fully fit. Because those two have been the ones who have sort of been consistent in front of goal this season. And the other players have been much more sort of hot and cold, if you like. So in terms of the title race, I think most of the fans would agree now it's highly unlikely that Liverpool will go on and win the title from here, having dropped 5 points in the past week, and also obviously fallen below Man City now, and you know, in this game in particular, to lose this feels like it probably will be fatal. So I'm going to sort of tell you how I kind of read the situation in Liverpool's season, Mark, and you sort of tell me if you agree. So I think that, bigger picture, I don't feel any sort of anger towards the team or anything like that, because I just think they have overachieved to get to the point where they are. If we think back to the start of the season, a lot of Liverpool fans, a lot of pundits are putting Liverpool basically between third and fifth almost unanimously in their Premier League predictions. Liverpool coming off a rebuild. Not only that, in the season that we've actually seen, so many injuries, the amount of games where you just think, how the hell have they managed to win that? Whether it's Forest, the League Cup final, games like that, where you just think, with the limited personnel that they have they managed to scrape over the line there? So they were already the underdogs coming into it, up against an Arsenal team that finished second last year, broke the British transfer record, threw another 65 million at Havertz, I think it spent about 200 million overall, and obviously City. So the underdogs against them. Then, you know, huge amount of injuries this season. I spoke before about the toll that can take physically in terms of a long title race, a long season. So looking at all of that, I just feel like Liverpool have overachieved to be in the position where they are now. This wasn't necessarily supposed to be a year where they won the league. So from that standpoint, if, as looks likely now, Liverpool don't go on to win the title, I don't feel any sort of, obviously disappointed. Obviously today's painful, obviously frustrated as well. But I don't think it's almost justified to feel anger towards Klopp or the players on that basis.
Yeah, not at all, Dave. I mean, even today, look at how Liverpool went about it in the second half to try and recover the results. Like I say, it's only the outcome of the game which would make people have a negative sort of feeling towards that. Liverpool chased the game as they have done numerous games this season, and unfortunately, you know, were found wanting in the final action. But Liverpool, I mean, if you'd have said to me this season, Liverpool are going to go large periods of the season, you know, Thiago's not going to kick a ball, basically. Trent Alexander-Arnold is going to be out for, I don't know what it is, 19 games. I think Keller has played actually more games than Alisson in goal. Then you've had Salah off at the African Cup of Nations, and then come back and got injured. So when you talk about the, you know, the importance of them kind of players and the amount of time that they've actually been out, and if you'd have said to me Liverpool are going to be competing for a Premier League title, I wouldn't have believed that would be true, especially when you factor in the fact that Liverpool have got a lot of new players, especially in that midfield section of the pitch. How poor Liverpool were last season, because I know obviously we did the podcast and stuff like that. I mean, Liverpool were absolutely terrible last season at times. I mean, they were unrecognisable from the sides that Klopp had previously built. They looked out of possession. They looked absolutely all over the place. And it wasn't until the back end of the season when Liverpool changed shape that they started to pick up results. And then obviously with Alexander-Arnold then going out the side, that actual pattern of play that they had in possession then went out the window as well for the best part of 20 games. And Liverpool then had to adjust to sort of a more settled sort of 4-3-3 that we'd seen previously. So there's been lots of elements in the season as to why Liverpool, I agree with you, Dave, have overachieved to be where they are now. I suppose, and listen, by the way, there'll be loads of sort of recriminations from fans on social media, because that's the way the world works, won't it? You know, they'll be pointing out so-and-so missed the chance, or he didn't do this, he made a mistake, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is there's been some really, really good performances from Liverpool this season. I think the manager's done really well in terms of how he's been able to get Liverpool to this point. But ultimately, there'll just be massive disappointments. I think I think the kicker is obviously the results in the week as well, because when you think that Liverpool have not achieved the Premier League title, like I say, I think there's massive disappointments how it's played out today and the manner in which they're probably going to lose it now at home to Crystal Palace. But if you still had sort of that European opportunity still on the table, but I think the fact that it's been like a double blow, Dave, hasn't it? Because the result and performance during the week has meant that it's going to end in probably... All I keep thinking is, Dave, as well, they've got that documentary coming out, haven't they? God, I don't want to watch that one. But yeah, so in general, it's been a disappointing end, but I'm in total agreement with you, is there's been a lot of positives. But what that'll take out of Liverpool in terms of the manager now leaving and the negative sort of end to this season, I think we'll have to wait and see, because, you know, there'll be a lot of disappointment throughout the club, I suppose, and a fresh start going into the unknown.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned that documentary. I mean, hopefully they just sort of quietly put it away in a cupboard somewhere, to be honest. I know when they did The Last Dance, I mean, that was about the, I think it was the 1998 or 99 Chicago Bulls or something like that. I think they should probably give it about as much time as they did before that, and then it'll be probably be ready for it then, based on how the season's playing out. But, you know, I think you touched on a decent point, because, you know, Klopp leaving as well, it just makes everything more painful. The, as we said it at the time when it happened, the emotional kind of stakes of the scenario I've just been raised so much, where every win means more, every loss hurts a lot more. I just, you know, you do wonder almost, as that kind of factored into this as well. I mean, maybe that's a discussion we have at the end of the season as well. But yeah, and just on the point about kind of overachieving as well, that for me is like why it kind of stung even more for Klopp to leave, because he talks about Liverpool 2.0 and things like that. I think with a couple more transfer windows and things like that, he could have built a team that was pretty much the favourite to win the Premier League title, kind of in that spell where you've got maybe the last year or two of players like Alisson, Van Dijk, Salah, Robertson, players like that. And then sort of the new players coming into the team are fully adapted at their best level. And it just felt like that was the path Liverpool were heading down, to kind of sort of leave so quickly after that rebuild makes it seem like, okay, so we've had this season where we're just coming off a rebuild, and then the summer it's going to be the reset button's pressed again. And it's like, do we lose almost the progress that we've made in that regard? So, yeah, I mean, it's just a shame that this season is basically, the stakes have been raised so much and Liverpool haven't, by the looks of it, been able to meet them. Maybe there'll be some sort of miraculous turnaround from here, but it certainly feels like this has been the week where it's all kind of come apart. But anyway, do you want to just say one last thing there,
yeah,
Mark?
Yeah, sorry, Dave, I was just going to say, just to finish off, I'm in agreement with you. And I think what stings more is that Liverpool have almost self-capitulated themselves. If teams had played so well against them and Liverpool were dominated, and you thought to yourself, bloody hell, you know, Liverpool have been all over the place, they're well beaten. But from them moments when the mistakes happened against Manchester United and the likes of today, you feel sort of self-inflicted, really, don't you? But in the main part, I agree with you. Listen, there isn't a great deal wrong with the setup of Liverpool on the pitch. Hence, you can see by the numbers that they've been able to achieve in the league. However, you know, we're going into the unknown now, because it's going to be a new manager and a new setup. So yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, and you know, there's definitely been a few moments this season, especially obviously in recent weeks, where things have happened and you just thought, that doesn't feel like a moment that happens in a sort of successful season, or like a dream farewell type season. But anyway, you mentioned that Liverpool's next game, very appetizing one, Atalanta away, 3-0 deficit, needing something that's probably never been done to go through. And obviously coming off, you know, probably with the mood at its lowest point it's been all season. But we will, obviously, they'll be there with our post-match episode. And hopefully we're talking about a comeback for the ages to try and bring some light back into this Liverpool season. Thanks very much, Mark, for jumping on. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Remember to just follow us through to the end of this season. If you have been enjoying our content, give us a 5-star review, follow the podcast, press the notification button. And we've also got our email address and our Twitter usernames in the episode description as well. But yeah, until that next one against Atalanta in the week, take care and thanks for listening.